I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles, open it to Isaiah 62. Isaiah 62. I thought about I'm going to go ahead and just tell you exactly what I thought. I'd prepared both messages for this morning. And what I was going to preach first, as I was going over my notes, it made me think of something else. And I went to that something else, which was the first five verses of Isaiah 62. And so, Lord willing, I'm going to try to preach out of these first five verses that I looked at this morning and pray that the Lord is pleased to bless it. And then what I was going to preach first this morning, Lord willing, I'll preach in a minute. But as I began to think upon the Lord's church, we know that God has a people. We know that the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, is referred to as a remnant, a small remnant, scattered throughout all the earth. And she appears to this world to be so insignificant. You find a place where the Lord has raised up a body of believers. And by and large, not always, but by and large, it's a smaller group. A group that the Lord has maintained and kept, like here at Katy, years and years ago, that God raised up a preacher, faithful preacher, and gave him a heart to proclaim the unsearchable riches of the glory of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Gave him a heart to preach this message that glorifies God and gives man no glory save that glory that is bestowed upon her by the good pleasure of the Lord. And God calls preachers, and he sends them out to preach to them. And so here we find in Isaiah 62 such a preacher. Here's Isaiah. He's a prophet, but he's also a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Isaiah was moved by God's Spirit to pronounce a God-ordained resolve in his heart. He said, the Lord has given me a heart to preach. To preach to His people. And He says in verse 1, "For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace. And for Jerusalem's sake," spiritual Jerusalem's sake, the church, the bride, Zion, "I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof of the church, of the bride, as a lamp that burneth." So for the glory of the Lord, who loves His people, His bride, has loved her everlastingly, for the sake of the church, not for Isaiah's sake, not for personal gain, it wasn't a job, it is a calling, it's a ministry. It's a calling that the Lord gives men to preach, gives them a desire to preach. I've told you before the Lord's pleased to call me to preach, I couldn't get it. I didn't get it. How did somebody just come to a study and this? That's all they do. That's all they do. They're studying and they're, you know, I don't know if I can do that. Well, I tell you this. If the Lord gives you a heart to do it, you will. Isaiah says, for Zion's sake, I'm not going to hush. We must hear the truth. We need to hear the truth. We want to hear the truth of Christ, and we want to hear it frequently. We want to hear it consistently. We want to hear it faithfully proclaimed. Why? It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Therefore, it's the only message of joy and peace and comfort. What do I want to hear? What do I want to hear? Right here. You tell me what God says. This is what I want to hear. And how long? How long are we to do this? He said, I'm not going to rest. I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. How long are God's preachers, their ministers, to preach? Until the promise of the church's righteousness, that righteousness that is imputed to her, not a righteousness that she earned, but it's that righteousness in which the Lord robes His people until she is completely revealed. How long is that going to be? Well, one of two things. It's either going to be until the Lord calls His preacher home. He just preached till he couldn't think anymore. I told you about my CPA asking me, when are you going to retire? This was when I was 62. That was a long time ago. And I told him, I said, I never really thought about it. Most preachers I know preach until they just can't preach anymore. They just can't think anymore. They can't think as they want. Either till the Lord calls them home or till He comes back. How long? I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation of God's people as a lamp that burneth. The prophet declares the surety of God Almighty to have a people, send them some preachers. And then he tells them, he said, there's a promise. We're preaching because God has a people. And they're scattered all over the world. You go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Preach the gospel to them. Listen, verse 2. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory. And thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. God's elect. They're everywhere. Every nation and kindred and tribe and tongue. And the Scriptures declares that Isaiah saying, I can't rest. I just can't stop. I don't rest for God's glory and for the good of His people. Because the Gentiles, Jews and Gentiles, the whole world, for God so loved the world. What do you mean by that? Every person without distinction? Well, you know the Lord refuted that statement. He said in John chapter 17, verse 9, He said, I pray for those that You've given Me. I pray not for the world. I pray not for the world. But I pray for those that You've given Me out of the world. Now, you know, that's pretty particular. So Isaiah is saying, he said, the Gentiles shall see Thy righteousness, and all kings Thy glory. And they'll be called by a new name, a pleasant name, a fresh name. We're going to look at that name in just a second. A name with a new position of honor and character that the Lord Himself shall name. Now hold your place and turn to Revelation 3:12. Revelation 3:12. Look at this right here. Here's the Lord speaking. Him that overcometh, and that you know that anyone that overcomes, how did they overcome? Well, the Lord called them, the Lord kept them, the Lord preserved them, robed them, taught them. They're kept for the power of God. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out. And I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. I will write upon him my new name. I said, we're going to look at that name just a second. They're going to have a new name. And Isaiah sets forth concerning this church. And I'll tell you this. We look around and I see a little congregation here and a little congregation there. And you say, well, you can go anywhere and hear the gospel. Now, you know, according to the scriptures, that's not so. That's not so. That everywhere the Lord has been pleased to raise up a people, the Lord's going to keep them. He's going to teach them. He's going to, and they're going to be kept and protected. Look at verse 3. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of the Lord. A crown of glory. Now listen to this. Didn't say on his head, as if we could add any glory unto him, but a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Shown forth to be a glory and beauty to him. He's given us a new name, and he's gonna keep us. He's gonna protect us for his glory and our good. We're gonna be a crown of glory by his power. By his power. I will say, they shall be my people. They shall. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He said they're going to be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Turn to Zechariah. Look, I mean right there. If you get to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament, just go back one book. You'll find Zechariah. Zechariah, next to the last chapter. Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 16 says this. And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people. For they shall be as the stones of a crown, lifted up as an ensign upon his land. Almighty God is going to show them. I realize, the church right now, as far as the world is concerned, I mean, there's some mega churches, church buildings, How many people you got? Oh, we got 35,000 members, We have 11 services, and we have this, that, and the other, and this little old group of people sitting over here on the backside of nowhere. As I told you before, when I got here, I thought, where in the world is Katy, West Virginia? The thing I saw was a little old green sign. Somebody took it, and it said, Katy, unincorporated. I'm thinking, where's that? Not even, no mayor, no nothing. Oh, but God has been pleased. God put a church here and raised up the name of the Lord. Raised up a people. And sent, as I said, a faithful pastor that knew God and proclaimed the glory of God. And God blessed it and raised up. And I'm telling you, long time before I ever got here, I knew where Katy, West Virginia was. I knew who Scott Richardson was. I knew who the assembly, I knew who they were. And there was respect. And there was honor, the honor of God put upon this place. I understand all that. But this is what God says about his people. This is how the Lord says that we are to him. And whatever men say don't matter. What does God say about it? He said that the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord. Then the Lord moved Isaiah to preach that the church, the glorious bride of Christ, she's not always going to be viewed by the world as those that are floundering and just here and there and just a little bit, you know. I do understand. I do know. I understand the attitude. You know, and I understand, I mean, as we look around and we say, well, there's not as many of us here as once were. But we're still here. We're still here. Look at verse 4 and 5, and I'm going to stop. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. And thy land shall be married, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Yes, we know that those who know not the Lord, they see not the bride, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, as He says she really is. You would say to me, are you telling me that these little congregations were the glorious gospel of God's free and sovereign grace? Little here, little there, there's one, there's two or three in that state, and here's one over here in this state, and maybe there's none here, and maybe there's four here. You mean to tell me that those that preach this message, the message that glorifies God Almighty as the Creator, as the one who oversees and rules and reigns in providence, the one who is sovereign in salvation and saves whomsoever He will, you're telling me that those little groups of people, that they are the ones that Almighty God has set His affection on? Is that what you're telling me? No, I'm telling you that's what God said. That's what the Lord said. I'm just repeating it. He said, you will no more be called forsaken. No more are you going to be called left behind. No more are you going to be called desolate, wasted. No more. He said, you're going to be called Hephzibah. You're going to be called, my delight is in her. Somebody say, is there anybody in this congregation that your delight is in as your wife? Yep, sure is. One. Who is it? My delight is in her. Why? She's my wife. The Lord's given her to me. We're one. We're together. He said, you should be called Hephzibah. My delight is in her. And let me ask you this. What else matters? If the Lord's delight is in His people, those that He's given a heart to bow to Him as a sovereign, He's God. If His delight, if He's for us, who can be against us? Well, I want everybody to like me. I really do. I try my best. I hate confrontation. I hate that. But you know, when it comes to these scriptures, there's no wavering. What saith the Lord? Say what He says. Here is the church's maker, who is her husband, He who delights in her, the Lord, by His grace, that has wrought out all in her that makes her His delight. He loved her, eternally saw her in Christ. He put her there. He chose to put her there. And her guilt has been put away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And her atonement, a covering has been made for her by the sacrifice of her husband. He paid her debt. What did she owe? She owed everything. What did he pay? Paid it all. Finished the work. And now here, as her husband and Savior and King and priest and husband and Lord, he said, you shall no more be called forsaken, desolate. You're going to be called, my delight is in her. That's what you're going to be called. There's that new name. The Lord's going to give her a new name. And here's a part of that same name. He said, your name's going to be Beulah. Married. And he said, and as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Listen. Rest assured. The Lord has a people. And He's going to call those people. They're all going to come to Him. He bore the debt, the guilt. He carried the sorrows. He said, John 10:15, I lay down my life for the sheep. And for those for whom He died, that He was wounded for their transgressions, all that for whom He was bruised for her iniquities, and the chastisement of their peace. What does that mean? The chastisement of our peace. All that was needful for us to obtain peace with God. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And I'm telling you, with His stripes, we're healed. Now I realize, in this world, the world sees the bride of Christ. These little, one bride in these little places where the gospel's raised up. I know they see them as just, you know, half wits. I get it. But let me tell you something. This is who the Lord says His people are. He loves her. He bought her. And He's coming to get her. He's going to keep her. And I pray that these few words, precious words of God, will be blessed to our heart, for our good, and for His glory. Amen. All right.